I'm not Steve Van Zandt. Yeah? Yeah. Steve is on his annual fishing trip. That's because they don't fish, they just sleep and eat. Yes, I got a good report though. We went back, Steve, you know, had some health issues, and we went back to the doctor, and the doctor said that all his tests were perfect. That is the word they used, perfect. Not just okay, but perfect. And so my dad always said, once they get you, those doctors don't let you go. So, of course, he's got to go back in 2 months and prove it. But we're just believing that'll be the end of it. Hey, it's good to see you this morning. If you don't have a Bible, there is a pew Bible in front of you. And I'm going to give you some page numbers. And on the back of your Sunday handout are notes for this message. So for all our note takers, if you want to use that handout and then read it later to find out some good information, as Pete was saying, about what's going on. In fact, let's see, after service today, Troy, are you guys going out after service? 4 o'clock, they'll be leaving from the office doors.
Yes, from the office doors. Mm-hmm.
In our neighborhood. Yeah, we're bringing the word. And you had 2 salvations your first time out. One. June says 2. June's got 1. June said an atheist converted, so hey, I'm just saying. And you know, June, if you bring that tambourine, they may just say anything. I'm just saying. You know, they're, oh, here she comes. Say it. Just kidding. This week, I was going different places, and I could hear the buzz about NASCAR. You know, oh, NASCAR's in town. Dear Lord, the traffic. We're going to have all this traffic. Oh, I'm not going out this weekend, you know. Don't go 35. You're going to have all this trouble. Well, I kind of tied this into the message today. And the title of this message is Don't Give Up, Give Out. But years ago, I heard a message with parts of this that really stuck with me. And it was called How to Get Over Sadness. And I think so many of us today are facing dark news, dark information, dark fears. As you know, Mike was sharing that story about his friend. The things you don't know are scary, right? But when we have God's love and when we have His Word, we don't have to be scared. We can stand on that. So, like life, most things are how you look at it. Most people hate NASCAR. If you live here and you're local, that's like traffic, that's like restaurants are crowded. But if you're a vendor and you want profit, you are in love with NASCAR, right? So it's all in how you look at it. And I just want to say to Kristen and to Randall, I just want to thank you because Kristen let me know that they are going to be in church every Sunday. And I just want to thank you, being a young couple, newly married, making those decisions. I applaud you for that. And so will your children and generations after you. Grandma's giving her some love. See the generations. So today our text is from Isaiah 10:27, and it says, "It shall come to pass in that day that his," it's a burden from the enemy, "will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil." I gave parts of this message about a month ago on a Wednesday night, and Steve said, "I really think that's for everybody in the church." But I've learned that sermons, like cooking, it never comes out the same way twice. And so the Spirit always has something that, you know, you'll key in on things that people are going through, and it'll just change because the Spirit is like that. How many of you will attest to the fact that when you come on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night, the message is either something you've just been going through, amen, or it's something that you need for the upcoming week? Would you lift your hands? Be proud. Lift it high. Everybody look around. See, you're not weird. We're all in tune. And the truth is that His power, the active and alive power of Christ working through us, is going to require the durability of an everyday race of life test. You're going to have to do it. These guys in NASCAR are running all the, it just seems so redundant, right? But it has to be done. The test has to be done for the durability to be proven. So today, we're going to look in your Bibles. It's on page 87. And you're going to be like, what? She's going to talk out of Leviticus? But I'm just going to go over this kind of quick. If you want to keep your finger in Leviticus 87, because we're going to back up page 87 in your pew Bible. It's Leviticus 21, verses 10 through 12 that we're going to look at. But keep your finger in page 77, because we're going to go back there in a little bit. So what we're going to talk about today are the requirements of the priests in the Old Testament, okay? In Exodus 29, God commands a consecration, which is a big word for set apart. You're now, this is who you are, okay? You know, like Meghan Markle's going to marry Prince Harry, so now she's been set apart. She will be a princess once her consecration comes through, okay? Her covenant. So God set that apart. He wanted the priests to be set apart to serve him. And the way that he did that was to have oil, the anointing oil, placed on their heads. So now we're going to look in Leviticus 21. We're going to look at verses 10 through 12. And it says, the high priest, I'm going to read out of the Pew Bible just for those of you who are following along. The high priest, the one among his brothers who has had the anointing oil poured on his head and who has been ordained to wear the priestly garments, must not let his hair become unkempt. What that really is saying is, don't take your hat off. When they took their hat off, the hair just would fall down, and a priest wore a hat. Now, Steve has a high priest hat, but I didn't bring it because to me it looks like Jiffy Pop when it opens up. And every time he wears that thing, I can't even hear what he's saying because I'm sitting down there thinking, it looks like Jiffy Pop on his head. I'm sorry, but that is who I am. But it says, or tear his clothes. Your King James will say, rend his garments. He must not enter a place where there's a dead body, and he must not make himself unclean, even for his father or mother. That means even if his father or mother died, he couldn't go in and help prepare, touch that body. And do not leave the sanctuary of his God or desecrate it, because he's been dedicated by the anointing oil of his God. I am the Lord. Now, what's funny, if you keep going on in some of those, it talks about don't bring fermented wine into the sanctuary. And I just want to thank Annette and Chuck, because we had fermented juice this week, and Annette caught it. And y'all could have been real happy during this message, but we changed it out, so we didn't bring the fermented wine into the sanctuary this week. So here's what happened. Let me just give you a brief thing. Really quick, we're going to just go over a couple of requirements from the Old Testament for the priest. They're not to touch a dead body. If you go to that next frame, please. They're not to touch a dead body. They're not to leave the sanctuary. Don't tear your garment or rend your garments, and don't uncover your head. Okay? There are many more things, but these are the highlights I'm just going to hit on today for you. So here's the thing. They come in and something wonderful is happening. Following all the anointings, in Leviticus 9, you're going to see where God has just anointed Aaron. It's been wonderful. And there were instructions given for him, and he's had four sons. And his four sons are going to be priests too. And they're going to take on their work in the tabernacle. The tabernacle is now finished. The wanderings are over. They're so excited about it. And so the Lord would later dramatically confirm this anointing that was on Aaron and his sons in Leviticus 9, 22 through 24. I'll read it to you. And it says, then Aaron lifted his hands toward the people and he blessed them. And having sacrificed the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the fellowship offering, he stepped down. And Moses is the younger brother of Aaron. And remember, Moses kind of had a speech impediment, so Aaron did a lot of his talking for him. But Moses was the leader of the nation, even though he was the baby brother. Then Aaron lifted his hands toward the people and blessed him. And having sacrificed the sin offerings, Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. That's like the tabernacle. When they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared on all the people. And fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and they fell face down. I mean, like, it's phenomenal. All of a sudden, fire comes from heaven and all their offering they brought to say, you know, consume these sins. We want you to consume this, Lord. I praise you. Consume this. It just, boom, it just goes up. Well, they're so excited that they just start jumping for joy. And then the reality of it, that it's from God. Nobody can deny that, right? Like, there aren't tricks and special effects back then. They fall on their faces and just start worshiping God. Well, now go with me to page 77 or Leviticus 10, and I want to read to you what happened. Remember, they've been set apart. And Aaron's son, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers and they put fire in them. And they put fire in them. And they added incense and they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. So fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, Aaron's two sons, and they died before the Lord. Dude, you know, like, he means business. He's not messing around, right? So they forgot what God said. It's going to be me. I want to be the one that brings the fire. I want to be the one. But they got so excited about God coming in their presence and the tabernacle opening that they just went outside what God said. They forgot. Or they didn't really believe he was serious. Or they thought they could do it better. Or they thought he needed help. Or they thought they didn't want to wait on him. Anybody else like Nadab and Abihu? Because I am sometimes. Right? So they came in and they went ahead and they did what they did. Well, boy, you know, Aaron is just shocked at this news, and he's overcome with grief. Well, guess what? Baby brother comes in, and if you'll skip down to verse 6, you're going to see. Then Moses said to Aaron and his sons who were still alive, Eleazar and Ithamar, do not let your hair become unkempt. Don't take off your hat, and do not tear your clothes. Don't rend your garments, or you will die, and the Lord will be angry with the whole community. But your relatives, all the house of Israel, may mourn for those the Lord has destroyed by fire. Do not leave the entrance of the tent meeting, the sanctuary, or you will die, because the Lord's anointing oil is on you. So they did as Moses said. They needed somebody to remind them what it was they needed to do, because they forgot their place, because they got so wrapped up in emotions and what other people were doing, they forgot that they had been set apart. Now, for us today, we know that in 1 Peter, he tells us, 1 Peter 2:5, that we as believers, those who believe in Jesus Christ, we're a royal priesthood, we're set apart. And when he says that, that means that we're all priests, we're all priestesses, however you want to do it. You know, my business card says Mother Superior, you know, however you want to look at it. You know, I get a lot more respect when people think I'm a real Mother Superior than I do just being who I am. And I'll just tell you, you know, I have to use code names when I go places. You all know me. My name is Gay, right? Yeah. So whenever I order coffee or anything, or, you know, you have to give your name to somebody, well, I'll always say one of the kids' names or who's ever with me. I never say my name because they yell out, Gay! And everybody, you know, looks startled. So I'll just tell you what happened. Vicki and I are together a couple of weeks ago, and we're going down this hallway. And many of you know my friend Vicki, she has handicap, and so she goes really slow. So this young man was coming, and he was in a hurry, and he was all, you know, probably like 30, looked like he just worked out, left the swimming pool or something. He's trying to get by, so I said, hey, Vicki, let's move to the side. And, well, I'm just as good as he is. Or I'm like, okay. So, you know, I got in front of her so he could go on around. So he's going around, and she goes, because I got in front of her, she goes, okay, Gay, really loud. And the guy goes, and turned around. I went, my name is Gay, I swear. Yeah. And then he just dies laughing, and we all laugh. So I'm just telling you that because, you know, you got to know about your name. Because he says to you, we as believers are a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We're to be set apart. But we have to believe that. So here's the thing about New Testament priest. There's two things that we're going to have to do, and these are up here for you. The first thing is we are going to have to stand before the people to represent God, or we're going to have to stand before God to represent the people. This is your and my duty, okay? This is our responsibility. So if I am, first of all, I was a daughter, okay? I was a sister. I was a student. I was an employee. I became a wife. I became a mother. I became a grandmother. I became Mother Superior. Are you following me? All those places, wherever I am, my responsibility is to represent God to the people. Hey, guys, come on. You know that we can overcome. We don't have to go down this road of sadness. And so, come on, let's pray. Let's just believe. I'm representing God to the people. If you've ever been with me in a hospital, you will know that I am unashamed to go to other people and ask them if they want prayer. Because as a priest, all of you, go ahead and turn to somebody beside you and say, that's you too. Yeah, everybody in here. Nobody got you, little girl. I'm going to get you. You too. We're all, that's who we are, okay? So I want to bring life to people everywhere I go. Y'all will not believe I'm fixing to tell you this story, but I am. Yesterday, I go to buy lottery tickets for Steve's mom. Now, I don't like to do this. It's scary to me. My mother told me I was going to burn in hell if I did stuff like this. But Bernice is sure she's going to win and redo the church, so whatever. So I forget what they are. So I walk in this store yesterday, a strange store because I don't want anybody to know me. And the lady behind the counter goes, well, hello, gay. And I went, I've been caught. So I have my shaky little $7, and I handed her. I said, I need two lottery tickets with the extra. And then she goes, is that all? And I was like, I forgot what the other one is because I was so freaked out by this. And I'm trying to, who is she? Because I can't, it's not coming up in the Rolodex, right? So then I look at her. And I'm trying to figure it out, and I can tell she wants me to know her. And I'm like, oh, Lord. And so I said, and a Mega Million with the extra. And, you know, because Bernice always gives me 1 5 and 2 1s. So, yeah. So I got them and everything. And then the Lord said, she's sad. And I was like, you know, it was like, forget you. What are you here for? Yeah. Right? So I said, hey, how's it going? You know, you like this? Oh, I've been working here since January, and, you know. And it's early. There's nobody else in the store. It's like 8 o'clock, so I don't want anybody to know me. So, like, this ain't going to be on the internet. Like, my sister's going to call me and tell me I'm going to fry forever. But anyway, so I, you know, January, okay, well, how's that going for you? And so she finishes everything, and when she hands me the tickets, I said, you know what? Would it be all right if we just prayed right now? And tears just filled her eyes. And I just took her hand across the counter. And, you know, she's up across this counter, you know, that's probably a good 2.5 feet wide. And she's handing this over to, and I just grabbed her hand. And I said, let's just pray. And I just started praying. I was like, Lord, please bring her name back. But all I could get was God's sweet girl. So that's what I said. Lord, just help your sweet girl. And you know, and she's crying, and I'm feeling the presence of the Spirit of God. And so when I finished, I said, you know, forget the lottery ticket. I think we just had a winner. And she went, that's right. And I walked out of the store, and I just got in my car and wept because, here's another story. I only tell this to Annette Langford. She still loves me. You will too. I'm in line at Starbucks. Everybody knows how evil they are. You should just drive through and pray for them. So I'm in line to get a Starbucks, and I'm going to bring one back for Angela at the work. You know, we're working up here, and so I'm in line, and there's this lady in front of me, And she has changed her order two or three times. And she's got a carload. And I'm like, dear God, why did I not get in front of her? And she's there, and I'm like, I have work to do. I got a message to prepare. Are you listening? We just get so far ahead of what we think is God, we miss God. So I'm like, Lord, here she is. So they handed her the food. Of course, I'm behind her with my window down, and I can hear her. She goes, can you toast this bagel? I'm like, oh, my God, seriously? And I'm trying to smile, but I am not happy. And so they do that, and then she comes. She goes, oh, could we have an extra water? And I look behind, and there's like a line all around the building, right? So I'm thinking how frustrated I am, and I'm next in line. And I said, dear Lord, this look at all these people this woman is holding up. And he said to me, look at all the people who are lost because you're not helping them. Yeah, we'll all be here today at 4. Yeah. So, you know, I'm like, it's so true. And guys, when the Lord says things like that to me, I don't take it as mean. I take it as truth. Don't, y'all, if my shirt was tucked in fixing that mic, somebody who loved me would have said, girl, your rear's hanging out or something, instead of just letting me go through it, right? That doesn't offend me because you love me enough to tell me the truth. And as priest, I'm supposed to love somebody enough not to tell them off, but to bring the truth. Guys, we don't have to have this hatred in this house. We don't have to be right. We don't have to have our way. Can't we just, you know? So wherever I am, when I'm in the line and there's a little disagreement or something with people, you know, and the cashier, they're just telling her off. When they leave, I say, honey, I want to apologize for the way those people treated you because you're doing a good job. And don't you let that mess up your day. God loves you. He has called you. His bring God to the people. And in the same way, I bring the people to God. I go in and say, Lord, whatever's going on in that crazy lady with the toasted bagels life, I pray that you would help her, help all those people, that they get over all that drama. Lord, help the rest of the people in this line. Let there just be an outpouring. Let the people who are working at Starbucks be saved in every Starbucks store, and it get back to the owner, and he's saved, and then he starts putting crosses on the coffee cups. Yes, Jesus. Right? But I bring the people to Jesus. I don't get mad at them. I don't leave them. I don't say, well, you're not good enough, or you're just weird. I don't like you. Whoever comes from this neighborhood into this church should feel safe and loved because we're the priest of God. So you're going, well, how does this relate to me today? What's this priest talk about today? The next screen has up Galatians 2:20 for you. Who are you? And you're going to know who you are by what you believe. Here's the New Testament. Here's what Galatians 2:20 says. And I am so in love with this new version of the Bible, but it's not complete yet. It's called the Passion Translation. My old identity has been co-crucified with the Messiah. Not just crucified, but co-crucified. He and I are one. My soul was on that cross with him. He was taking care of me back then. We are co-crucified. For the nails of his cross crucified me with him. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine. For the anointed one, that's Jesus, he lives his life through me. And we live in union as one. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God who loves me so much that he gave himself for me and dispenses his life into mine. What we believe defines how we live. What we believe defines how we live. And how we live defines who he is to other people. So, if you are what you believe, then what do I believe about him? Do I believe more about him than the other influences? And what is the anointing? Well, you're going to see. I've given you some ideas of what the anointing is. The anointing is symbolic. It's a picture. It's a type. It's an illustration of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is an authority. It's a power. The anointing means you're set apart. It means you are ordained for ministry to lead. Everybody in this room is ordained to lead. Cole Berber, he looked at me when I said it. You know your name, you handsome man. Do you know, honey? Do you know your honey? Cole Berber is anointed. Steve would just roll at that because he says my voice gets 3 octaves higher when I see something I like. He's anointed to be a leader because Frank and Kelsey have brought Jesus into their home, and the anointing rests on them, and it will rest on Cole. And until Tinley and Cole are old enough to make those decisions themselves, they are still under the umbrella of the priest and priestess of that home who are going to bring them and show them the things that are going to benefit their life. With me? It's also a comfort to you. It's a comfort to you, and it's a counsel to you. He was comforting me and counseling me in that line at Starbucks. He was telling me, girl, you got your priorities wrong, but I love you. I didn't feel rejected or put down. I felt like, hey, you're going to complain to me? Let me just make it clear to you. This lady's not the problem with what's wrong with the world. You are, because you're not sharing love. Ba-boom, right? So instead of being angry at other people, I as a priest should take these things before him. Because guys, can I just set every one of you free in this room? Amen. You cannot make other people's choices for them. You should stop trying. You shouldn't date them because you're going to change them and make them better. You got to love people where they are. Every man in here should have stood up and applauded for me, but, you know, okay, you missed it. So here's the thing about the Holy Spirit, though. Why did they need a priest? Because they didn't have an interpersonal relationship with God, and they had the confidence in the priest. Guys, you and I now don't need a priest. We have an interpersonal relationship with Jesus Christ, because we can access him at any time. Jesus, as you saw today from Kenneth being baptized, we believe that when you're baptized, that you go into the water that represents a supernatural death, burial, and resurrection. He is covered. When he comes out of that water, it's symbolic to him to remember that time, like we remember with communion, who Jesus is. It is symbolic to him to remember, I'm a new creature. I have the power of the Holy Spirit in me. Do you know that after Jesus was baptized, the anointing came down on him? Number one, it came down on him in the appearance of a dove. Okay, that's why sometimes people have a dove. It represents the Holy Spirit. And the voice of the Lord came, and he said, hey, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. When he descended on him, we know from Mark 1, 10 through 12, the water, he says, immediately the body of a dove was formed immediately when he came up. But there was a second thing that happened. Right after that, in verse 12, it says, immediately the Spirit, the anointing, compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness. What? Because I want you to know that the anointing, the living word of God, every time you're going to have an experience with God, there's going to be a desert opportunity that's going to come right after it for you to kick in what he said and prove it to yourself, your mind, your will, your emotions, so that you can be confident in who you believe. So, now you're like, well, hey, what all that have to do? Well, let's remember. I want you to remember what we talked about in the Old Testament. So now let's remember in Leviticus 10, 6 through 7. Remember, Aaron is in shock. He is devastated. And he needed somebody else. And it wasn't the high priest, it was Moses. He needed somebody else to remind him to remain in his anointing, to remain where his strength is, to remain where his authority is, to remain where his comfort is, to remain that he has been set apart. Now, so he didn't do it. He didn't tear his clothes. You know, like Hulk Hogan. I'm old. Hulk Hogan, yeah. He didn't do that. He didn't take his hat off. He didn't leave the sanctuary and rush out and go, my babies, my babies. He knew that other people were going to do that mourning for him. But he needed to stay where he was because he still had to represent the people to God. Because they were hurting too. I remember after Leah died, our daughter Leah, sweet, so sweet. But I was really in shock, you know, and I don't know how to handle this. Amazing how God had just so good to us. But all I knew was I just had these snippets of Bible scripture, just these snippets. Now, I didn't think about Genesis 37, and that's where Jacob heard that Joseph had been killed by this lion attack, and they brought him this bloody coat, and which it wasn't true. It was a lie. His brothers were jealous of him. People are going to be jealous of your anointing, just FYI. And so the dad, you know, he just tore this off because he was just devastated, right? And we know that in 2 Samuel 1, when David, who was already anointed to be king, when he heard that Saul and Jonathan were killed, he didn't rejoice and go, whoop, whoop, I'm on the throne today. No, he tore his clothes and he wept because he loved them. He was saddened by this, okay? Well, those weren't the scriptures I remembered. But I did remember that David, this I don't know why this came to me, but I remembered that David, when his firstborn with Bathsheba, because the child was conceived in sin, that child was going to die. Listen, sin cannot inherit the throne of God. And David's firstborn would have inherited. Who's with me? Right? So, but he's weeping because Samuel comes in and said, hey, dude, it's going to happen. So I just remember for 3 days that he's not eating and he's not whatever. And I remember that it took Jesus 3 days to come out of the grave. I just remembered these three periods. Jonah and the whale, three. You know, I remember this. It's going to take 3 days. And for some reason, I said in my brain, it's going to take you 3 days before you're going to come back to life. Because I was numb. And I remember I just said, I'll fast. I'll do what David did. And I'm going to fast for these 3 days. Once I've heard this, I'm going to fast. And I'm just going to stay away from people because it hurt me for people to touch me. Because I could feel your love. And love in an open wound, it hurts. It doesn't feel good because it weakens you. If you have any resolve, you know what I'm saying. So I was trying to like, and I could feel people's grief. And I couldn't carry their grief and my grief too. So I remember the first Sunday after she had died, and what's really weird was Zelda and I were in the prayer room the week before, and I had a vision in the prayer room of the church filled and people standing outside. And I said, Zelda, God is fixing to fill this church with people. It's going to be full, and there's going to be people standing up outside. And little did I know that that was Leah's funeral a week later. But I'm telling you, God will speak to you and show you things in advance. And we take our mind and put it in, we compartmentalize, we decide, and it's not it. But I wasn't, do you understand? There were other things that happened that let me, so I wasn't really complete. It was like a little mini preparation in a good way. So we come to church, and Steve's cousin, Randy, who pastors in New Mexico, came, and his daughter, who was 12 years old, had died 2 years before from an epileptic seizure in the home. So he comes, and our sweet little board, he asked to meet with him. Steve's like, okay, you know, we don't know. We're just like in shock. And the sweet guys on that board, Randy, Steve's cousin, goes in and says, hey, you need to give them a month's paid leave. They need to go somewhere. They need to grieve. They need to whatever. Well, Steve's sitting there and he's like, no, I don't want a month off. This is where I belong. This is, you know, I'm representing the people to God and God to the people. I'm not going anywhere. Now, just hear me. We didn't have what I'm giving you today. I wasn't recalling this whole word. But I knew for 3 days I was going to fast. And the word says that David's men, you know, were concerned about him because he wasn't eating, he wasn't talking, he wasn't sleeping. And when you're in shock, you don't. Right? A lot of you know this. So I am thinking, in my mind, I thought, okay, I decided David washed his face and came out. I'm going to do it the Bible way. So I decided I'm going to take communion now that I have Jesus, and I'm going to take a bath. I'm going to take communion. I'm going to come out, and I'm going to handle it. God, you're going to help me. So I'm in the bathtub. And Vicki Lehman, Gary and Vicki were there, and in our home, they stayed with us. And I remember Vicki came in, she said, "You're going to have to eat something." I said, "I am, but I just want a couple of, I just want a cracker. I'm going to take communion after I get out of the bathtub." She's like, "Okay." So she gives me a cracker, and I take the cracker into the bathroom with me. So I'm in the bathtub, and all of a sudden, I hear this little, I'm like, "Hello?" And it's Jake. He's like, "Mom?" I'm like, "Yes." He goes, "Now you're in the bathtub, but I brought you a chai tea from Nordstrom because I love them. It's liquid pumpkin pie. It's better than Starbucks is like liquid perfume once you've had one from Nordstrom Coffee. I'm just saying." And he said, "Mom, I brought you a spice chai because I know that's what you love." And he said, "I'm going to set it outside the door, and I want you to have it, Mom. Still warm." So I had my juice, and I had my cracker, and I took communion. And I came out of that room, and immediately I could see other people. I wasn't seeing my need. I was seeing other people. And so I could see that Jake was hurting, and Charity was hurting, and yeah. And so, but we couldn't carry each other's grief, right? But I knew to stay in my anointing. With me? So thank you. You all know that I'm just a big old crybaby. Thank you, June. One for the road. So, yeah. So I take this communion and I come out, and now this happens. And Steve comes, he goes, "Can you believe Randy, the nerve of him, to ask them to give us a month paid vacation?" And I think they were going to do it. I was like, "Well, honey, they, you know, it was sweet. You guys love us. Thank you." But we knew where our anointing was. And I'm telling you guys, when grief comes to you, you have to stand on the word, or you will let other people in your weakness show you how to leave your anointing, because it's all we know to do. All we know to do is comfort the flesh. And he wants to build us up in the spirit. Okay? So, well, do you think that means God is unfair? Is he mean? Is he unjust? Because remember, I already told you, a desert experience almost always follows the anointing. It was the spirit that led Jesus into the wilderness. He wasn't following the devil. The flesh is weak, it's vulnerable, and the enemy must have your agreement or he has no power. The Spirit is never going to lead you somewhere but what you have more power. Jordan, wherever you go in the world, you have more power than any situation that comes up because you have the Holy Spirit living in you, and you take that with you and you repeat it to yourself out loud, because she's fixing to go to another country to teach. So go, my love, and come home quickly. Amen. So here we are, 3 days. Now, let me fast forward, because some of you are like, "Well, God is so mean. Why wouldn't he let Aaron just grieve?" Let's fast forward for you. I'm in the car probably about 3 Sundays ago, and I have Eli and Jim in the car with me in the back seat after church. And we're going to go down here to El Puerto and eat, okay? So, yeah. So it's just us. And Eli has cut these pieces of paper into, you know, fours, and he's got like 10 pieces of paper or something, 8 to 10 pieces. And so they're in the car, and Jim's like, "I need some paper." So they give her some papers, right? So we're riding, and Eli goes, "Honey, can we just roll down the windows?" I'm like, "That don't cost me nothing." "Sure, roll down the windows," because I have the locks on them. Jim's in her car seat, and they got their hands out the window, and they're just feeling the wind. I'm just like, that's so wonderful. That didn't cost me a thing. And I can hear Jim going, come to our birthday party. Happy birthday to me. Come to our birthday party. And she's just laughing hilariously. So I'm like, that is so cute. And I turn around and look, and she's throwing those pieces of paper out the window as I'm driving down 28th Street. So I'm like, Gemma, don't do that. Honey can get a ticket. And Eli goes, she's old enough, they'll take her to jail. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And she's like, oh, honey. And she throws it in. I was like, I'm serious. So I roll up the window and, you know, click the lock. She's like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, thinking about this. So now let's take that situation. And let's just say that this hypothetical, it did not happen. That happened. This did not. Let's just say somebody was behind me and they saw it. And they called in on me. Her tag says CCOFW. She calls herself a Christian. They're throwing paper out the window. So they call in and they say, hey, I saw 8 pieces of paper come out of that window. She's not watching these kids. She's not responsible. Y'all need to, you know, check her out. She could be drunk for all I know. Okay. So they, you know, come up and they're like, okay, we have a witness. They're very upset about this. They love Texas. You know not to mess with it. Here's how this is going to roll. I'm going to give you, for all 8 pieces of paper, you're going to be fined $2,000. Oh. Have y'all not read these little signs, don't mess with Texas? I'm just saying. So I'm like, oh, $16,000. So I go to court, you know. I go to court, and I look up, and on the stand, the judge, it's my dad. I'm like, oh, come on now. Honey has got the inside track. It's going to be okay. He has the robe on. He's standing there. You know, he's got the hammer. You know, doesn't that man, the hammer, scare you? Like, would you really call that man, that lawyer, when he goes, you hadn't called me yet? I'm like, dear God, I'd never call you. But anyway, judge has his hammer there. So he's ready. And so they stand, and the prosecutor, who for a Christian, for a believer, would be the devil, right? And I have my defense attorney, who's Jesus. And everybody's standing but Jesus. And he's just sitting down. I'm like, well, that's okay, because, you know, dad's up there. Now, so dad stands up in his robe, and they read it, and he sits down. We all sit down then. And so dad says, okay, what's the charges? The prosecutor reads off my charges. Did you do this? I said, well, Gemma did it. He's like, were you responsible adult? Yes. So I'm thinking, you know, they're just going to laugh it off. 3-year-old, it was so cute. It was Gemma. Let's get her in here in pigtails. And she, you know, no. He looks and he says, that is the law. You broke the law. You're going to owe $16,000. Oh, my God. June, it really didn't happen. But if you want to give me $16,000, but if you want to give me $16,000, y'all, we're going to get some wood fixed up in this church. We're going to get some carpet on this floor. Okay, so, yeah, $16,000. So I'm like, oh, what just happened here? Literally, oh, my God, literally, you're my dad. How could you do this to me? This is so unfair, but God is just. He's just. It was wrong. I'm like, I don't have $16,000. Eli's right. I'm going to prison. I'm going to be on the chain gang picking up paper down here. So all of a sudden, dad stands up, unzips his robe, sets it on the desk, walks down and comes and sits beside me. And he opens up his wallet. And Jesus, who's still sitting without a word, hands him a receipt. And he takes the receipt and he says, I've already paid this fine. Here's the money. And I'm sitting there going, what just happened? Because he's not just, but he's full of mercy, withholds what you deserve. He's full of grace. He gives you what you don't deserve. And Jesus has already paid the price for anything that I'm going to need him to help me with. And dad has paid the price. Dad paid it through Jesus, because Jesus and God are one. And any false religion, that's your one question, is Jesus God? If they say, oh, he's the beloved son, he was a prophet. No, babe, I say, is Jesus God? If you cannot answer this question, yes or no, I don't enjoy fighting and I'm not going to give you an ego trip. I will not fight, yes or no. What is it? Now I'm going to speak in tongues over you. Come over here. They'll leave you alone. So anyway, so the receipt is paid. Bam, your debt's paid. You can leave. Because God is not unfair. He's just. He's merciful. But that only happens if I'm his kid. So you better know who you believe in. So boy, here we are. Well, you know, Gay, I think you're stretching this Old Testament story. I think you're stretching this with the priest thing. I think you're kind of, you know, you're walking a fine line there. Well, let's just review this. Today, you and I, Pete, did you touch the dead body? With your paddle. Right. You didn't put your hands on that. So here's the deal. You and I are an out-touching body. Steve, those civil servants that have to, yes. But normally as priests, that's not something we do. So he says, don't leave the sanctuary. Randall and Kristen said to me, hey, we're not going to miss a Sunday. We are going to be here. We're not leaving the sanctuary because all of you are the witnesses that raised your hands that said, being in service on a Sunday or Wednesday makes a difference to you from where you've been or where you're headed. Amen. That's why you don't leave the sanctuary. Amen. Not because he's mean and evil, but because of this. If you and this isn't for anybody that's here, by the way. But if you prioritize this meeting over going to the lake, then you perpetuated in your children that God is not first in their life. It's just a couple of hours a week, but it sets the tone and gives them information. Now, if any of you want to walk up to me and say, Gay, my children can quote the Bible. I've taught it to them. I will apologize to you, and we will all be sending our children to you. But I don't think that's what they're learning. I think they're learning secular songs. Back up. Okay. So don't leave the sanctuary. Don't take time off to go party. No, sorry. Because you know why? Because you drift and you become rootless. And Pete, you brought it up brilliantly today. You need somebody at the bottom of the fall to make sure that you're going to get help. So then he says, don't tear your garments. Don't get caught up in emotions and get all freaked out over stuff. Don't freak out, seek out. And then he says, don't uncover your head. Why would he say, don't uncover your head? Well, let me just share a few things with you. A hat sometimes represents who you are, your authority, right? I know y'all cannot see this hat because it's camouflage. But this would say to me, somebody's going hunting or, you know, they're like macho, whatever. This would say to me, you know, it belongs to a ranger. You know, you're a pro player or somebody who likes the Rangers, who will please pray for the Rangers. I'd rather them start out bad and end up good. This is a little fedora because, you know, you style and you whoever you are. This is a little, you know, this is like, you know, I don't want to get sun on my face because I'm old enough. I don't need that on me. And this little hat is just ridiculous, but my husband loves this little hat. And it's just the most ridiculous thing ever, but y'all who went to Purim with us know that he wore that. And Frank, you'll appreciate this. I brought this hat because this is my husband's hat when he goes out and works. And you can see that his helmet is already bubbled up from the heat and stuff that they have to wear. I'm sure yours has gotten a lot more action, Frank. But here's the crazy thing. I went to pick it up, and there's black soot still lined in it from whatever the last call he was on. But Ken, you know this to be true. That, when you walk on a scene with that, that represents what? Your authority, right? So he's saying to you and to me, don't take off the thing that I've given you as your authority. So here we are. I don't want to lose my authority representing him. He set me apart. And the spirit, guys, I think the reason the covering is on the head is because our mind and our emotions can get so caught up so quickly that we divert off the track of wholeness. But the Spirit keeps your mind stable. Remember, Isaiah 26:3 says, He will keep you in perfect peace. Who? Whose mind is fixed on Him. Right. What does 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 1, 7 say? God has not given us, but of and a sound mind. See, you got to know those things. So I don't want to give that up. Well, you know, okay, but that's still Old Testament. Well, let's bring it home to Jesus, who is the great high priest. Jesus, in his time of pain, emotional distress, and suffering, Jesus reached out. Would you agree with me that the worst pain he had was on the cross? Would you agree with me that he's already been beaten, the big, you know, thorns on his head, you know, everything? So he's in the greatest moment of suffering, and yet he did not leave his anointing. How do I know? Because he went to the thief and said, I'm going to minister to you. I want you to know your sins are forgiven. Today you're going to be with me in paradise. He stayed in his anointing. Father, forgive them. When he was praying in the garden in great grief, he was still being a priest representing us to God. And he said, even from the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. So Jesus didn't rend his garments. He surrendered them. And he surrendered them to a group of mocking, persecuting, laughing people. And you and I want to get mad and tell God they need to hurry up the line. So here's the thing. The soldiers have a rope around the wrist of Jesus, and they bring him to Caiaphas, the high priest. You remember the qualifications of the high priest, right? You all know him now. So they bring him to Caiaphas in Matthew 26. This is verses 59 through 63, okay? So here's the thing. He's like, are you the Son of God? And Jesus goes, nothing. He has, I need to answer you. I know who I am. That kind of be my attitude, but he's just silent. To fulfill the scripture, he went to the slaughter like a lamb. And so he's like, I adjure you by God Almighty, tell me, are you the Son of God? And he says, as you've said. And it makes Caiaphas so mad that he takes his clothes and goes, rip! Is Caiaphas a high priest anymore? Answer? No. But you see, the world couldn't see their own sin because they're so incensed at somebody who loves unconditionally. All they want to do is shut him up, and they don't care about how they do. Nobody caught on. Right then, the other priest should have said, unfit! You have to leave your position. No more can you be the high priest. But see, the world doesn't see what they do wrong. They're just going to point out what you do wrong. And we should not care. Stay in your anointing. So, man, here comes Caiaphas, you know. But that had to happen. Because prophetically, Jesus needed them to see, no more do you need a high priest. No more do you need somebody. They didn't even get the prophetic thing that was happening right in front of them. How many times do we see somebody incensed and we don't even get what God's doing in those hearts and lives? All we see is anger and persecution. So boy, he comes on in and then he says, you know, Jesus says, well, you're fixing to see the Son of God, and he's going to be coming. Now, you remember, Caiaphas can't be a high priest anymore. But the people needed to know that was because no more do we go to people as our priests. We go directly to God. Who's the priest and priestess now? Raise your hands. We are. Believers are. So then, he says, I'm going to give you a new high priest, Isaiah said, in the order of Melchizedek. I'm going to establish a new high priest. No more man. Now it's going to be Jesus. And remember, Jesus, he was a type. He was an illustration. He was a picture of the high priest. So it's not an old order anymore. But guess what? That wasn't enough. Just as he's being crucified, just as he's dying, what else was torn? The veil. The veil that is 4 inches thick and 60 by 30 feet. That was no little tear, friends. That it took virgins who made them. They had to work all year to make them, and it took them 2 years. Two in a year could only be made because they were so big. And they had to have 300 priests to dye it the right color because it was so heavy. And it had to be done to God's instruction. And it just rips. Because when God wants something to rip, he'll rip it. But don't you go ripping yourself. That's the enemy. That's not God. So here we are. I want you to know that when they took Jesus to Golgotha and Calvary, that it was the soldiers we see in John 19:24 who said, let us not tear his garments. Because they used to take them and they'd cast lots for him and rip them up and give them away for the material. He said, hey, let's not tear his. You think that was just a coincidence? No, because I'm telling you, even evil people cannot go against the plans of God. The devil and his minions and whatever force of darkness you have is nothing more than aligning you for the victory of God. And to see a miracle and to experience it firsthand. So here's the thing. Boy, am I on fire? Am I on fire today? Am I getting burned up and just mad? Or is it the fire of God in me? Am I bringing my fire? Well, that just burns me up. Right? Am I taking every good thing and just putting my spin on it? Or am I trusting God? I've given you a little thing on your notes for pray. We've got to persevere. We need to read and recite the word. And really, if you'll say it out loud, it's a proven fact. It'll help you recall it easier later. You've got to stay in your anointing, and you've got to yield to what the Holy Spirit wants and not to what you want. Pray, persevere, yield. Well, Gabe, these things are just pretty hard. I don't think you really understand what I'm going through. I probably don't know what you're going through, but I'm going to tell you this. We all hurt the same. And I can't judge what you go through as any better or worse than what I go through because we all hurt. But I will promise you this. Whatever brings you to your knees is positioning you closer to Jesus Christ. That's what I'm going to tell you. So I got to thinking about that. Here's NASCAR this week, and I thought, well, what is a pole position anyway? What does that mean? So I looked it up. The pole position means it's the most favorable position at the start. It's a dominant position. So everybody wants to be in the pole position. When it comes to living an anointed God life or just existing, guys, please hear me on this. When it comes to living abundant living God life or just existing in this life, it's direction that counts and not speed. Going wrong direction in my plans, going wrong directions against what the word says, going wrong directions and all those things. I brought me some flags today. I was like, whew, yeah. And this is what I saw, okay? I'm praying for you. I believe this, guys. Have you ever noticed how the world is so opposite to what the Bible is? He says, if you want to be great, make yourself small. He says, if you want to be a leader, make yourself a servant. He says, if you want to win the world, you need to lose yourself. He says, if you want to know his salvation and share in it, then you're going to know my sufferings. It's so opposite. Can I tell you about us as Christians? Let me just share this with you. This world is nothing more than your victory lap. When you say, I serve Jesus, you get the checkered flag. You ain't waiting for nobody to tell you where you are. You ain't waiting for nobody else to tell you you won. Ain't is coming up my roots. It just happens. I'm sorry. You are not losing. But it's like when you get saved, everybody in here gets a checkered flag. And you're going to drive with that checkered flag. And when people call you loser, you can just laugh because you already got the flag. Dude, pole position. Go on. It ain't speed, it's direction. And I'm following him. And so I'm just going to say this to you today. Here's what I want to do right now, and I don't want to wait on it. If you lack confidence, if you are lacking confidence today to trust him and trust the anointing and who he is, Mike, if you'll just go ahead and come. You may not remember these scriptures, but I'm telling you, these are some I live by. Hebrews 10, 38 and 39. We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we are those who believe and are saved. And I'm going to give you a great little thing you can do. And yes, I shared this on Wednesday night. I'm going to share it with you. When you have a pain in your body, you say out loud, no. You don't have to do it where everybody else hears you. You don't have to go, no. There's an old Andre Crouch song. You don't have to jump through no pews, run down no aisles to know that you've been born again, right? Amen. We know we're born. You have the victory flag. And you just say to those things, you know, and then week later you don't have pain and you realize that and you go, ooh, and say out loud, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Man, I'm going to have this confidence. In this room today, I want you to stand with me. And I want to ask you something. Do you have the confidence to stay in your anointing? Are we so caught up in sorrow and grief that we're running from instead of running to and remaining in him? Let him have his perfect work in you. Gay, I need some confidence. I'm just saying, I don't know. Guys, there's one place where you can experience that confidence, and it's at this altar. Because what happens at the altar is his fire comes on you, and you experience him in a way that nobody can take from you. Can I just share something with you? You don't have to prove that there's a God, because nobody can disprove it. Amen. Set yourself free from all these debates. Amen. Be confident who he is in you, and don't get caught up in this stuff. So in this room today, I know there are people who are saying, you know, I need that. I need to know who he is in my life. And I'm just going to leave these little flags down here. And I've got more flags. And I'm just going to leave those down here. And here's the deal. Maybe you need to be reminded of who you are. I don't know. Maybe you need to hang a flag on your car to remind you who you are. All I know is I want you right now to come. And we're going to pray for you that the anointing of God will solidify who you are. And when the enemy stands up to you and says, you can't, you're not good enough, it's not going to happen, they're crazy down there, don't do it. Don't let him keep you from receiving the anointing that you're praying to God for to break off the yoke. Remember your text today? To break off the yoke of the enemy and to be set free. If that's you, you need to come right now because we're going to pray. Yes, thank you. Ask somebody around you. You want me to come pray with you? You want to go down there? Yeah, you can get a flag. You want me to pray with you? Ask somebody. Bring them out. Somebody you've been representing to God, you've been a priest for them, you see them down at this altar, come and pray with them. Those of you who are sitting there and you know that you have an anointing on your life, and you're like, man, they've been on my heart. Go over to them and put your arm around them and say, all I want to do is pray for you. We don't even have to go down front. Just let me pray for you. And for those who are here, we're going to pray and believe right now that you're going to feel, not just think, but you are going to experience Jesus Christ. Right now, you are going to experience Jesus Christ. I want somebody behind everybody down here, because you know what? Sometimes we feel like we don't have the faith. I want you to know you've got somebody behind you who has the faith. Those of you who believe, come down. We're going to pray right now. We're calling them home. I'm calling you home. I'm calling you home. I'm calling you home into the presence of God. Lord, I thank you right now that this world, I'm not just going to exist. I'm going to ride this world out. Already won. I've already won. And I thank you right now, Father, that your word says in Revelation that the robe you've given me is going to be white, from my sin because of the blood of Jesus. I call you cleansed and holy right now, not because I'm saying it, but because His Word says it. I want you right now, those of you who are just living in that, I left Jesus, I'm so bad. I want you right now to begin to say, I'm a child of God, I'm beloved, I am saved, I am anointed, I'm a priest, I'm a priestess, I'm the one you're going to deal with, devil, because God has already paid the price for me. I have pole position today. You have the dominant place in your life. I just thank you right now, God. Lord, we just lift this up to you right now. You guys just begin to pray over the people that are around you. Begin to speak life over them. Every darkness has to go. Don't buy into, yo granny did it, yo great grandpa. No, sir. The generations are cleaned. You have a clean slate. You have a fresh start. And the start that you have is the dominant position. Do not leave your anointing. Do not leave your anointing. Do not leave your anointing. And Father, we just thank you for that right now. Guys, we're going to take time to minister. And I just want to ask you, while you're there, some of you are already just praying. Just stretch your hands out and pray for people here. Just stay in. Tap into that anointing where you're standing. Tap into that anointing and let God confirm to you that He is who He says He is. Amen.